Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a trade deadline day in the National Football League. We're gearing up to, I believe it's 4 Eastern, so 3 p.m. Central is when when that official deadline hits, however.
Who's in the lead right now?
you're trolling now.
You know what? Actually, you know who's in the lead on deadline day? Jets. The Seattle Seahawks, baby. The Seahawks look fantastic. They are, all right, I know y'all going to laugh, but it's all good. They are already incredibly high historically, DVOA-wise. Like, this is a really well-situated team.
Man. We're talking about the damn trade deadline,
let me land. Can I land?
You ain't got to bring DVOA up and everything, man.
Can I land? The point being, they were already a really, really good team. Jaxon Smith-Njigba clearly looks like a number one wide receiver. And they add Rashid Shaheed to allow them. He's a great second receiver. He allows them to push all of those buttons on a defense.
Listen to Reggie right now.
They're going to make teams.
I'm giving him his minute. I got something to say.
Am I wrong?
No, go ahead, finish.
Like, they're going, like, our defense is already good. Now they have a 1-2 punch with this offense with Sam Darnold. I think that they're going to be a really, really tough team that continues.
And obviously you're not wrong. But here's the thing. The trade deadline is about passion and your gut and, you know, emotion and all that.
All right, hit me with the emotion. I was going to say hit me with your gut, but that's
by the way,
crazy.
That coach trade, A.D. Mitchell.
I was about to get there. Yes,
is
sir.
In there. Is in the trade. He's going to the Jets.
Yeah, okay. what were you going to say passion-wise?
All that stuff is what the trade deadline is about. And right now, what I'm feeling, the emotions I'm feeling is wow. You know, is wow. They are in it to win it, they being the Colts and the Seahawks.
Well, yeah. That's why I like the Seahawks one more because I think it accentuates. The Colts one, it's really interesting. Yeah, they are all in here. And I think that there are some things that are worth considering on what that might tell you, again, on maybe if you're the Texans, if that gives you any level of insight on how you need to move. But the Colts trade, they acquire Sauce Gardner, cornerback Sauce Gardner, who, mind you, an interesting point that I just saw was His contract extension, the money of that is just hitting. Mm-hmm. So they're getting a player that maybe has taken a little bit of a step back. I don't know how much of that you can also add into the Jets defense kind of crumbling to some degree. But there's a little bit of decline in him. He just got more expensive with his extension, and they gave up 2 first-round picks, a 2026 and 2027 pick, and wide receiver A.D. Mitchell for the honor of getting him back. Like, this is an overpay, but where they are as a team maybe justifies it?
No, I think where they are as a team justifies it. We'll see if that ultimately proves to be true. And, you know, some texts are coming in. The Jets fleeced the Colts. Various variations of that. It was expensive. WTF Colts. Oh, my gosh. They took them for a ride. All this stuff. I get it. And if I'm a Jets fan, I'm thrilled. Thrilled with, you know, for the future. But you know, one of my things I say oftentimes is it's probably, if it doesn't hurt, it's probably not a good trade. Of course it hurts. And we'll see just how good a trade that is.
Yeah, but you talking about if it doesn't hurt, like lifting real heavy. This very much could have been taking a hammer to the foot. Like that's what this could be. Because again,
no, you're 100% right.
You're giving up an opportunity, a couple of first round picks for, again, an asset that I feel like is a little bit depressed. I'm not trying to say he's nothing now. But then on top of that, and we talked about this a little bit, quarterback-wise, you're not guaranteed to have the quarterback that you have next season. You're going to have to negotiate with him, and now he knows you have less leverage there. You have less opportunity or less things to get you another quarterback if you wanted to go there. They're locked in with what they have here. Now, maybe you just look at it and you go, hey, they're pushing all in for this particular year.
What do you want the Texans to do? Let's bring it home.
Yeah. Based off of what the Colts have done,
what would we be saying if the Texans did something similar? Obviously not a cornerback, but did something, you know, that kind of a big swing. Would we be saying, oh, Texans got fleeced? Hell no. Hell no. We'd be saying the Texans are all in. This is a championship defense. Now they got whomever is.
Or better yet, if the Texans were 7-2 right now and they made this type of trade.
No, that's exactly what I didn't mean with this record. Yeah. I'm saying let's say the,
with his record.
We would be saying, oh my God.
I would be excited, but I'm like, huh?
Let's say the Texans were just swap records and the Texans make a very similar deal. Would we be saying they got fleeced? I don't think so.
We would be saying they're all in right now.
Right.
We'd say they're all in, but I think that it's...
That's an all-in type of move.
One of the words that Nick Caserio often uses is like fiduciary responsibility. Like you have to have a certain level of responsibility and level-headedness to this. And I think this is another reason why we tend to look at Chris Ballard and go, word?
Yeah.
I think that, yes, you want to take a big swing. You don't want to take a big swing to your own detriment. We'll see. Time will ultimately tell.
That's exactly where I was going.
That's an all-in type of move, though.
Look, it could backfire. There is no question about it. But let's say we're in San Francisco for Radio Row this year, and we're talking about the Colts.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Then it's worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to be a Jets fan for 2027, 2028, whatever. But... this is a move that the Colts have put a stake in the ground. Absolutely.
Or do you feel like if they were getting all pro Sauce Gardner,
is that a good move? That is absolutely different context.
Yeah, but the thing is he's playing for the Jets too.
Yes, exactly.
So maybe you could get all pro Sauce Gardner on the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's something we really don't know, but you might not get him.
A32 says everyone would be upset with that trade. I don't think the A32 would be upset. I don't think he would be or she would be
upset. You're giving up a lot. I think that
you're giving up a lot. I don't think people here would be upset.
Yeah.
If you're 7-2 and you make a deal like that, let's go. Let's go.
Yeah, I'm not sure I fully agree with that. But with that being the case, with the move that they made, does this at all change your perspective on the greater outlook of how the Texans should operate? Or are you just kind of ho-hum, we're in the same place? Does that at all shift your mentality? Because again, they could be in a place where they've given up their next couple of first-round picks. Quarterback situation could be a little bit more tenuous now, or you might have to commit more of their salary cap to quarterback than they had previously thought with whatever the negotiation ultimately comes up next year. Does this give you more of a feeling that you might be able to step more quickly back into a place in the AFC South?
Look, I'm
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sitting here trying to think reasonably, think like Nick Caserio might, you know, we're not going to let what other teams do affect how we do business. You know, that whole mindset. I don't know about you guys. I think it definitely does. It certainly makes you sort of think again, you know, about where you are. And by the way, the Jaguars are making the two biggest moves today have been the Colts and the Jaguars. You're telling me that we're just going to keep, you know, plugging along, not worried about what other people are doing?
It's kind of tough too, because I feel like the Texans are in a place where you look at what everybody else is doing in the division. But I think they got deeper problems where, man, they got to focus on playing better football on the offense, man. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if they would look at the Colts and say, man, we got to make a move right now because Colts did something.
Yeah. So, do you think it would?
I'm trying to figure. I mean, they really do just need to figure out what this offensive or what this team just generally is as a baseline. And That was one of the questions that D'Amico Ryans was asked yesterday about this offense. Mm-hmm. We're 9 weeks through this, and this was the question that was posed to him. I believe Sarge asked it of D'Amico, hey, what is your offensive identity now?
For us right now, offensively, like, we got to be better. Like, we have to be better, and that's from all standpoints of just putting guys in position, that's executing all the way across the board. We just have to be better offensively.
As you might be able to tell, not an offensive identity.
Do we?
I don't know if
know?
You didn't catch that. Just being better isn't an offensive identity, at least not by any standard that I've seen. So, I mean, and that is quite an indictment that you are half the way through a season. And this didn't feel to me, Lopez, like a guy who's just, you know, maybe more defensively inclined and not going to get into the X's and O's of what his offense is. That simply felt like I don't have a good answer for this.
That's exactly what it felt like. And what was his previous answer? I always forget.
His previous answer, we need to move the ball. Yeah, move the ball.
He was asked about the identity, I guess, 2 weeks ago.
Yes, 2 weeks ago after Seahawks.
And he said the identity was move the ball. Today you just heard what yesterday you just heard what he said. I'm with you. I think they're trying to figure out. I think he has an idea what he wants it to be, but he just can't say it with a straight face right now.
What do you think that is then?
Basically all of this stuff. Pound the ball, move people off the line of scrimmage, establish the run, and then be safe passing the ball. And that's just not happening.
So what do you think the offensive identity should be? That's something that I was thinking about all
day
since I saw that.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe if you're going to what you have here, probably more of an I don't have a good answer. I really don't, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't say that this needs to just be a pure drop back team, but it probably does. More of a short passing team, which is what they had kind of gotten to. Definitely a team that tries to attack the middle of the field. I just don't know that they can do – they've tried to do those things. They haven't done them with very much efficiency. That would require, I think, an opportunity for your offensive line to protect well. The tough thing about it is that they've put so much emphasis on trying to stay ahead of the chains and running the football in order to do that, that I think that it also cuts away from some of the other the effectiveness of some of the other things you're trying to do.
You know, last night kind of gave me an answer to this because the Arizona Cardinals decided, oh, yeah, we've got a good receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr. is all right. Let's target the hell out of him and put some pressure on the obviously a bad Cowboys day, but you know, they decided what the Texans have not, and the Texans instead of trying to be who they are, they're trying to be something they're not. You know, who they are is a team that has a great wide receiver and a quarterback that can sling it and is, you know, is accurate and all that. But what they want to be is counter to that. So it's a little confusing. They, you know. The whole best player, you call plays, players not plays, that whole thing. They're doing it the other way. They're calling plays not players.
Yeah, and some of this is just wanting to have that identity. So, I mean, look, again, they don't have the identity that they seemingly want, but did at least D'Amico maybe give you some hope that possibly this could shift? And the bigger thing for me is, all right, even if there is indeed hope that, all right, they might be looking to shift it, what is reasonable? What can you do? Because that's one of the things that's tough. I know that a lot of people are like, hey, fire Nick Caley into the sun. And you're not going to find me complaining too much. I've already gotten to a place where I've said that he's out of his depth.
Yes.
In this position. He's had some moments of looking better, but even still, I haven't seen anything where he's created like significant advantage schematically for this team, which is what you probably need from an offensive coordinator, right?
Do you think changes are coming?
It's possible.
Maybe nothing public.
Yeah, I could see it. Mm-hmm. I could see it. I just don't know what it actually does, right? You've set up the parameters of what this offense is. Like, you have your playbook, so to say. You're not going to be able to install a new playbook. Having an early bye week makes that even less tenable because you can't take the extra week to maybe try and make larger swings. You're week to week at this point with what you have, just trying to game plan it a little bit closer towards something that works better. So no matter what, if you have someone else in charge of the game plan, someone else inputting even more, if you're trying to split up the pie of game plan development, no matter what, it's going to be slowly, little by little, if you make any level of changes. I just can't see the big shift that I think would be necessary to get this team playing better.
I agree with you. It's just so hard. But I could see more of a game plan that leans toward the reality over the perception.
Sure.
You know, the perception of what they want to be, we've talked about. The reality is they're not that. So if you lean more toward the reality, maybe you trust, you know, whether it's whatever, pick an offensive coach, you know, whether it's
Shaplinsky, Laser, Johnson.
And lean into them and say, and this is where D'Amico, with it, you know, stepping into the offensive side of the room comes into play. You're going to listen to, for this game, Shaplinsky's putting in the pass, you know, the pass packages. Gerard is putting in, whomever it might be, and maybe, you know, go with that. Maybe that's the change. Like, look, it's not working, so let's just change it.
You know what's funny, though? As much as I'm like, I don't know, you're not going to find a different sandbox to play in. The sandbox that you have to play in is the one that is there as of right now. I do think there's a number of little things that can go a pretty long way if they can do it, right? When you're talking about slowing down a rush, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. You can just block up, sure. Mm-hmm. There's opportunities to bring in extra players to chip. Sure, you can do that. You know, one of the things that earlier on in the season, I can't remember which team specifically did it, but for some reason I'm thinking it was week 3 Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, like, you can use a hard count to slow down edge rushers that are getting after you, right?
Now, maybe that's in play.
Interior rushers, you're not going to do necessarily well as well. Like, I don't know if that's going to stop them. But edge rushers, if they're getting on you pretty quick and they're beating you, you give them the hard count, you force them to have to think about when mm-hmm. they're going. Maybe they get off a half second slower, and that half second can mean the world.
Yeah.
Obviously, utilizing things like play action consistently in ways that make sense, utilizing motion and consistently in ways that are useful and helpful.
Mm-hmm.
These are the little things that you add into an offense, and they make a world of difference. And we've seen this statistically. We've seen this studied.
Yeah.
And it feels like there's not enough of those things also. And if they are, they're infrequent or not in the right times. And I do wonder if you do make changes in who's if that becomes more consistent and more helpful to what you're doing to try and work, make some of these plays and some of these concepts that are age-old concepts that we're seeing more effective when they actually hit the field at NRG.
And just real quick, just to for those who weren't listening yesterday when D'Amico spoke, we're not just pulling this, you think there's going to be changes out of thin air. D'Amico yesterday said it a couple of times, including right here.
I hope so. We're trying to convert them. So we have to do something different. Obviously, what we're doing, it hasn't worked. So we just got to find a different way.
That's not, you know, a casual comment. That's, we've got to do something different. And so that's why I think there will be some, whether it's something that's made public or not, that just behind the scenes or whatever.
It'll be very interesting to watch what the game looks like versus Jacksonville. And you know that they're probably just, they're ready for Davis Mills to be out there. I know that he sat down, D'Amico Ryans did with the coaches show when he sat down with Vandermeer and Harris and basically was like, it's incredibly rare for a quarterback to come mm-hmm. back. So we're planning as if Davis Mills is there. That's another place in which it's going to be important that they change the way that they go, because one of the things that I felt like I saw in that game was C.J. Stroud is much better in zone. I think Sean Payton actually mm-hmm. talked about this. He talked about the idea that, you know, when C.J. goes out, they don't have to, what do you call it, like a cage rush, like where you kind of have to contain them. They changed the way that they went about things. They dropped more people in, and they tried to force Davis Mills to be accurate, and we saw that be an issue. I think teams with a full week of preparing for Davis Mills, they're going to be able to attack his particular game plan and his style, so they might have to shift it, what they do to make him, in that same way, to make him more successful. How confident I am that they will be able to do that, they have not given me enough to believe him to that degree. But the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're favored in this game versus the Jags, the Texans are, and they've played the Jags in a pretty close.
They've kind of owned them
when they had some more issues.
Counts.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see if the offense can maybe step up to the podium. The defense, we know, will be there and give them an opportunity to try and win at NRG on Sunday. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, still reeling from the trade deadline and the Colts giving up 2 first round picks and Adonai Mitchell to go ahead and acquire Sauce Gardner. And it seems like the Browns are making a trade. They're sending a defensive end, but Joe Tyron. Shoyinka.
Miles Garrett?
No, not Miles Garrett. They're sending him to the Bears for a sixth and seventh round swap. So the Bears adding a little bit of depth on their defensive line at this trade deadline. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions. We'll see if any more trades happen next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.